Good morning, everybody. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody in this room. We're 5 minutes late, but now we're going to start because we thought that there's another member that are going to come in. They will join us on the way. Honorable members, according to the agenda, we have a briefing by the Department of Water Affairs on the implementation progress of the water management catchment agencies in South Africa. And then we are going to have the adoption of the consideration of the minutes. So I don't think we must waste time. We must start our meeting. Before that, let's start to introduce ourselves. Maybe others don't know us, but we're still the same committee, same faces. I'm Nolthando Qekani, the chairperson of this committee. I'm from the Eastern Cape. To you, Whip.
I'm Gauta Mokgoro, member of this committee, and a whip. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Daryl Worth, a member of this committee, and I'm from the Free State, for a starter.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Peace Marie. I'm from Gauteng, a member of this committee.
Hand over to Secretariat before the department.
Ashley Bauer, committee secretary.
Vishni Pillay, content advisor. Good morning, I'm
Atal Limitago,
the executive secretary to the
chamber. Morning, I'm
Voice
Papu,
secretary to the WIP. Thank you.
Pianchi.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stutman from CMG.
Okay.
This is Bongi Lembeba from the British High Commission.
Okay, thank you. I think I'm going to send over to the department.
Good morning. My name is Vincent Monene from Department of Water Affairs in the DG's office.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members, honorable members. Elgar Muller. I'm the acting Deputy Director General for Policy and Regulation. Please also accept our apologies of our Director General, Mr. Maxwell Serginia.
Morning, Chair and members. I'm Togo Sikwaza from Institutional Oversight in Water Affairs. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Stacia Bofilatis from Institutional Governance.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone? Okay. No one. All right. I think we must start our meeting. I'll hand over to the department to give us a briefing.
Madam Chair, thanks for the opportunity. Togo Sikwaza, who deals with institutional oversight, has oversight of our, all the institutions, water boards, CMAs, also the TCTA and institutions. She will do the presentation. We all participate in the discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do you have any Chair and members, once again, we just want to thank you for this opportunity for us to come here and present to you the progress around the catchment management agency. I think mainly because this is the Water Week, the National Water Week, and I think it's an honor for us for this meeting to prioritize dealing with water issues during the National Water Week. The catchment management agencies are critical for the water resource management in South Africa. I can continue because members have got copies. Yes. And in our presentation, we will look at the context in terms of catchment management agencies, the policy and legislative mandates, the progress that has been made up to date, and the challenges that we face, and also we will touch on the future thinking and then conclude. The national government is the custodian of the nation's water resources. Water resources is an indivisible national asset, as we know that water knows no boundaries. So this is why it is important that it is managed at a regional and a local level. And the minister is a public trustee in terms of the National Water Act of the nation's water resources. And she therefore needs to ensure that water is protected, it is used, developed, conserved, managed in a sustainable and equitable manner. In order to do all these issues and to manage water in a sustainable manner, the minister may establish institutions to perform water resource management functions at regional and local level. Water is an indivisible asset, it is important that it is managed in an integrated manner, and this is why we have adopted the principles of integrated water resource management, which ensures that there is equity in terms of access to water resources, there is sustainability in terms of its management, there is optimal beneficial use from its utilization, looking at both social and economic, and that there is local participation by stakeholders, that there is subsidiarity and clear accountability. Also, the principles of viability are important, and we are doing all of this mainly because we want to improve service delivery and support all partners at a regional and local level. In terms of the context, I think the water, land, and equity nexus is a critical issue that brings together the issues of water, land, and equity at a regional level. And this is the area which the catchment management agencies need to deal with at regional level, and I'm sure this committee will take an interest because it also deals with the issues of land. And previously, water was linked to land ownership, and I think this is where the problem is today, that we still have a lot of institutions that have access to water, but the new emerging institutions still do not have access to water at a regional level. So one of the critical role of the catchment management agencies is to ensure that at a local level they work with all stakeholders, those who have land and those who do not have land, and facilitate the access in terms of water allocation. And we also ensure that we meet the basic human rights, as people need to have access to water, and also ensure that we reduce inequalities, create jobs, and eliminate poverty. As we know that water is critical for the social and economic development of the country, and also it is critical for human health, dignity, and well-being, and also for supporting economic growth and job creation and improving rural livelihoods. The context is also critical because South Africa is a democratic developmental state, and as a developmental state, we need to lead as a state in terms of ensuring that there is participation of citizens at a local level. We also need to make sure that we are inclusive in the way that we do water business, and also to make sure that the catchment management agencies are representative of various stakeholders at a local level. In terms of our role as government in the water sector, we have a critical role to play in terms of ensuring that we develop equitable and sustainable water policies and strategies, that we plan for future and balance and future supply and demand, that we ensure that infrastructure is developed and managed, that we allocate water and ensure redress and equitable access, and also ensure provision of basic water supply and sanitation services to all, and also we need to regulate water use and impacts on water. I think those who noticed the, yesterday that the minister with was around the country launching the Water Week and visiting those farmers who were not complying in terms of the of water use. And we also need to ensure that the water sector institutions, they perform effectively. In terms of the legislative mandate, catchment agencies are statutory bodies. They are established in terms of Chapter 7 of the National Water Act, and they operate within a specific water management area. And the water management area is an area established as a water as a management unit in the National Water Resource Strategy, within which a catchment management agency needs to deal with its business. It is also important that we understand the concept of water management institutions. Under water management institutions, we have a catchment management agencies. We also have water users associations. And we also have other institutions that are responsible for international water management. The catchment management agencies are also listed under the Public Finance Management Act. They are categorized as Schedule 3A entities, which means they are mainly service delivery public entities. So they are both regulated by the National Water Act and also by the performance by the Public Finance Management Act. The reasons for establishing CMAs, catchment management agencies, is mainly to ensure that we manage water resources at a local level in South Africa. And the primary objectives are to achieve equitable access to water, achieve sustainable use of water, and also achieve efficient use of water. And it is critical that we delegate water resource management to a regional or local level in terms of our national water resource strategy. In terms of their role, they manage water resource in a defined water management area. Later on, I will come to the numbers of water management areas that we have in South Africa. They also coordinate the functions of other institutions involved in water-related matters. Just as we have local government responsible for water services, it is important that we have an institution that is responsible for water resources at a local level. So they are also, they also involve and facilitate local communities in water resource management in terms of ensuring that the rivers are healthy, that the rivers are clean, that everybody complies with the rules in terms of lawful use of water. They also protect, use, develop, conserve, manage, and control, ensure that water is controlled in a sustainable and equitable manner. In terms of the roles that we give as CMAs, we give them roles in an incremental manner. Like once a catchment management agent is established, they get initial functions, which is mainly to investigate and advise interested persons on the protection, use, development, conservation, and management. They also develop a catchment management strategy, which is a strategy that outline all the issues around water resource management level at a regional level. They also coordinate related activities of water users and other water management institutions within their area. They also promote coordination of the implementation of the catchment management strategy, and they also promote that communities participate in the business of this CMA. So once the CMA has been established over a year, then we delegate more functions to them. And during at the end of 2 years, you need to give them different types of functions depending on their performance, which may be related to development and maintenance of stakeholder structures, and also more functions which are related to the the water resource management system and the registration and verification of water use. That is checking who is getting water use, who is using water as per the conditions. And by the end of 3 years, they also need to be delegated more advanced functions, which are mainly related to water use license applications, control of water use and compliance, monitoring, enforcement of water use authorization conditions, establishment and regulation and provision of support to water user associations, and also we hope to delegate the issue of tariff billing and revenue, because it is currently happening at a national level. In terms of how did we come about with the 19 water management areas, I think in October 1999, we gazetted 19 water management areas in South Africa, and there was an intention in terms of our strategy that we were going to have 19 catchment management areas in 19 water management areas. And the way that we went about that process was to look at the hydrological boundaries. It is critical to note that the catchment management boundaries do not follow political boundaries, because, as we have said, that water is an indivisible asset. So they don't follow political boundaries. And we also look at the issue of financial viability, the size, demographics, and volume of water in each water management area. We also look at the capacity and in terms of the willingness of stakeholders to participate, and also the interrelationships among various institutions. So the map indicates our intentions in 1999, when we established 19 water management areas, with the hope also of establishing 19 catchment management agencies. So they are listed. I won't go through each names. I think you are familiar with those names that are and the boundaries. In terms of where we are to date, based on the 19 that we thought we would do, we have established 6 catchment management agencies. Sorry, we gazetted 6 management catchment management agencies administratively, which means it's on paper. They were gazetted, and on 2 are operational. And the 2 that are operational is Inkomati CMA, which is in Mpumalanga, and the Breede Overberg, which is in the Western Cape, on the Woester part. So those 6 CMAs that we have gazetted, they are not operational as yet, but they are administratively on paper as gazetted. In terms of the 2 CMAs that are currently operating, we felt that we should inform you of the chairperson. Mrs. Maluka is the chairperson of Inkomati, and the current chief executive position is vacant, so we have an acting person. With Breede Overberg as well, we have a chairperson, Mr. Hammond. And also the chief executive is vacant, although we are currently concluding the chairperson's position. So I think the next slide indicates the date of establishment. Inkomati was established in 2004, and Breede was established in 2005. So more or less, they both have about 7 years of existence. In terms of our role as EDWA, once the catchment agencies have been established, they are regulated by the National Water Act and the Public Finance Management Act. They submit and table their annual reports and audited financial statements to Parliament. their business plans are approved by minister and also national treasury. Also their budgets, they submit them to the national treasury and to us for approval. They also submit quarterly reports in terms of the revenue and expenditure, and also they comply with the financial misconduct procedures report. So they are a good mechanisms and controls in place in terms of monitoring catchment management agencies. In terms of the achievements, although we have established two in the country, the minister is still accountable for water resource management functions in the country. So where they don't exist, our regional offices are still performing those functions. So the department has ring-fenced what we call proto-CMAs, which means before they become fully-fledged catchment management agencies, in the regions we have proto-CMAs, which are performing water resource management functions until catchment management agencies are established. We have completed catchment management strategies for the two areas, the Breede Overbeck and the Inkomati. So in those areas you will have a good understanding of what is happening with the quality, the quantity of water, and also the lawful, and also the other institutions that exist in that area. They are also helping us with the engagement with irrigation boards for transformation into water users associations. You must remember that we have about 120 irrigation boards that still exist, which still need to be transformed to be water users associations. So they are working and facilitating the transformation. They have also aligned their activities with Dwa regional offices, strategic planning, and there is coherence in terms of performing the water resource management function. We now have institutional relationships at a local level because they work closely in terms of aligning their catchment management strategy with the IDPs and also the water services development plan. So they work closely at local level with the municipalities. They have also created awareness and promote community participation in water resource management, something that was not there before because they work closely at a local level. We have also been very lucky to have a Dutch support because the Dutch program, it involves those, they have worked this work and they have very good experience in terms of implementing catchment management agencies. So we have facilitated that learning and knowledge sharing between our catchment management agencies and the Dutch one. And BOGMA and CMA, they have started to perform functions as delegated by the minister in December 2010, which was additional functions. And the implementation of delegated functions provides the CMA with the opportunity to start generating their revenue. And what happens, there has been delays. I'm sure you are asking yourselves as to why only two catchment management agencies, while in 1999 we thought we would have 19. What has happened is that in 2007, the previous Minister of Water Affairs embarked on a project that became known as Institutional Realignment, which was looking at rationalizing the number of institutions that were reporting to the Minister because there were too many institutions reporting. We had more than about 300 institutions. And we also had to think about whether we really need 19 institutions in the whole country. So we felt, I think that study is still continuing now, and we are about to make decisions, which the minister will take those decisions as to how many should we have. But it looks like we won't be proceeding within 19 in the whole country. So there is a rethink around the number of catchment management agencies. other delays was that this was new in South Africa, and for the first time we introduced two institutions. It took longer for us to learn from the processes and also in terms of the resources that are required in order to establish the institution. There was also a lack of internal capacity to establish the 19 CMAs, because even the two that we have, they keep us very busy in terms of providing oversight and monitoring and control. And also the issue of financial viability, we also needed to check whether the other, if we establish more, they will be able to be, to at least to be financial viable. And that required a lot of work in terms of the verification processes, so that which should be completed before we know we can quantify the water use charges for viability. And I think in terms of the why we are rethinking the drivers for change, they are based on the issue of the 2007 study that is looking at the institutional arrangement in the sector. So, and that was prompted by the issues around poor service delivery at local level due to lack of capacity. We also have acknowledged that there has been fragmented institutional arrangements in the sector. There is a limited capacity of water sector institutions to perform in accordance with our current legislation. And there has been poor implementation of legislation and policy that impacts on institutional accountability, the governance, performance, and oversight, including regulation. And in terms of the way forward, I think the institutional realignment and reform project has progressed to a stage where we are waiting the approval from the minister in terms of agreeing on the number of catchment management agencies that we should have. And thereafter, once we get the minister's approval, we will then be able to proceed with the following. It means then we will continue with the gazetting of the approved water management areas. We will also ring fence water resource management charges in water management areas, and we will start with the development of business cases for each catchment management agency. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your formative presentation. I think the honourable members have listened carefully. I will hand over to them to ask some questions and clarities. If there's any question, I see Honourable Darius, Honourable Mhoro. Honourable Darius?
Thanks, Chair. Is my question to you, thanks for the presentation. My question, the CMAs, Catchment Management Agencies, will they be generating any money in their own right, or are they totally dependent on the Department of Water Affairs? And then also, where do the water boards fit into this picture? Do they liaise with the CMA? How do they fit in? Thank you. Thank you.
The ministry is a public trustee, must therefore ensure that water is protected, used, developed, conserved, managed and controlled in a sustainable and equitable manner. The word equitable manner, I'm sure you are my witness, Chair. And also, why is it an invisible thing? Why water is it invisible? seen yesterday the minister was in the air trying to pour water on water whilst water was burning. To some farmers who were complying with these things, I was trying to listen to what is the punishment for these farmers that are stealing water and for a very long time. It's only now that the Department of Water Affairs is waking up. We know that especially commercial farmers, they just connect water and spray without even paying a cent to this national commodity. Why only now? It has been there for a long time, and from comments yesterday, I couldn't hear whether these people are going to be punished. They are going to be warned, they are going to be given a written warning, and only after some processes will then probably something which has not been named be considered. To me, there is no equity in water supply, in water provision. I have for the past 3 years been speaking about certain areas where there is water in abundance and communities that are settled not even a kilometer from the water source are not even using that water. I think records can bear me out. I've mentioned the Spitzkop Dam. There's a huge community that stays there. And I've even at one time mentioned that, you know, the dam where it is built in an area where people before used to plow and produce food. That dam has been put on that whole vast area, on the side of the community. And the community is divided by the river, the community and the commercial farmers. On the side of the commercial farmers, they draw the very same water that is built on an area where people used to plow food to irrigate the area, but the community don't even have a mug to drink out of that water. That is my concern. We have the Majeng community settle along the Falhas River. What do you call it? The Falhas. The Falhas. Yeah, the Hart River, yeah. But they are not getting water anyway from that river, of which they are on the bank of it. We have also mentioned the issue of Schmidtstrift. I don't know who has to supply water to the people, really. What Department of Water Affairs or who, I don't know. This very last week, my committee visited KZN and the Eastern Cape, and the cry, the general cry from both these provinces is water. It becomes more sad when you get to the Eastern Cape. You get to that region that is called the Eastern Pondoland. Yeah. I've never seen a village as big as that one. It was my first time to go there. But when I got there, I just saw sadness. That village is so vast, you can drive the whole day, you'll never complete to go through it. There are rivulets that I've seen running across that village. You go to school, there's no water. You go to clinic, there's no water. People don't have water in their homes, let alone having water for sanitation. people are still, you know, using very, very primitive methods of sanitation. And all that is because of water. And besides those rivulets, Chair, there is that river, a very huge river. What is it called? Mzumbovu. River. It's quite a mighty river. It is not far away from this vast village, which if those rivulets that I've seen cannot be able to supply sufficient water to the village, there is a big river just down here. I remember where I come from in Kimberley. The mining complex from Kimberley is more than 200 kilometers, almost 300 kilometers, the Hotazel area. But they get water from the pipe from Kimberley running across farms in order to supply water to the mines for mining use. I am just asking my question, Chair, through you. What is so difficult? What is so difficult just to give people simple commodity like water, clean, running water? You remember even in our recommendation after the meeting, we even recommended that the president, accompanied by key people, must visit that area because we are going to kick dust as from today. That those people must be supplied with water. We are going to really kick dust. And we want, when we speak at the top of our voice, the president must hear from us something that he himself has seen and has seen the need thereof. The Minister of Finance, Pravin Gordhan, we want him to go there. It is in our recommendation to go there. So that from the allocation side, budget, he must actually have seen the need that he must set aside, you know, a sum of money for, you know, to alleviate those people's water thirst.
Okay. Thank you.
So, I want. Are you cutting me off, Richard?
Yeah, I want you to make short.
Yeah, but I'm really not happy. I would like to say that I'm not happy. It's a pity the minister herself is not here. I was watching the program on the TV yesterday, and I was not impressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable, a
comment, maybe the department can tell us. I think there's a dam that's going to be built, isn't it? The Umzumbuvu River. There's a big dam that's ripped up.
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah. Honorable Ellen, do you have any questions on it? No? Yes?
Chairperson, sorry first of all to be late.
Okay.
But listening, and also we're going through the summarized document presented to us. If I look at the core functions of the agency, it's look after the infrastructure and its development. It's also to emphasize the issue of access of water, also the issue of quality of water. But Chairperson, if you look around the country, around your basics of your establishment, it is in contrast what we hear, what society says outside. Now for me, sitting here, I'm under the impression your major emphasis is on revenue and not on services rendered, from my perspective. I don't want to repeat what the previous speakers raised, but that is factual. Okay, now there is other example. I can make an example of Pledunum then. people just told you that the capacity of the dam is not, the dam don't have the capacity to serve, to render the service for all those citizens in the area because of the speed of the area which is developing in. Now, do you want first to go to a crisis, or do you want to be proactive? So that is engagement I think we need to do. Otherwise, we're going to repeat ourselves. But I'm saying the point which I'm doing that, my understanding from where I'm sitting, your focus in the agency is more on revenue and not on the core function. Because I can take it now to Redport in Mosplay, where people need to go and put the baskets at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the water, because if you go at 11 o'clock, there's no water. So those are the realities which are facing Jefferson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. I think Honorable Hore and Honorable O'Neill covered everything. There's an outcry of water. Outcry, national cry. Everybody is crying for water. And there's no water. If you go down, as Hore said, outside the villages, outside the rural areas, you can't get anything. Difficult, even there's no water even to drink animals. So it's very bad. And I want you to know just a little thing, to know that what are the main constraints and challenges? What challenges do we have? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the members for the questions. I think, let me start with Mr. Wolf, and I think it's important that we right from the start see the difference between the catchment management agencies and the water boards, and also municipalities. Catchment management agencies will do a lot of the work that the department is currently doing. That is running the river systems, that's issuing licenses, people for water rights, look at pollution, equitable allocation of water from the rivers. But then taking the water from a river to the people, which is indeed a major issue, that is the work of water boards and municipalities. That's not the work of the CMAs, the catchment management agencies. And Togo Sigwaza mentioned this study on institutional realignment. And that project is looking at a number of institutions. It's looking at all the institutions. It's looking at also at the CMAs, catchment management agencies. It's also looking at water boards, or call it regional institutions. Because of the problems currently the country is, and I agree with the members, currently people not getting water because of lack of service, etc. So that study is also looking, making recommendations about water boards or institutions, call it regional entities. Because I think where there are water boards in this country, people are fairly well served. And in areas without water boards, we have a problem. So that study is also making recommendations about the other institutions. Also, the infrastructure department is currently running. So let us just split that, make that difference between what the CMAs will be doing and the water boards. Because water boards are created in terms of the Water Service Act. They take the water for a municipality from the river, they treat it, they give it to people. Mr. Wolf, your other question was, will they be self-funded? The intention is that they will collect money from the charges that the department is currently collecting. They will take over that function. So it's basically a lot of the functions that the department is doing will be, decentralized to local level. They collect the money and they will be self-funding. Mr. Mohoro, your question is very important about equitable use of water. And you mentioned Spitskop Dam. You're quite correct. Spitskop Dam was created as an irrigation dam, and often the communities around that dam doesn't have water. There are a number of dams in this country which was created for a single purpose, and communities were left without water. So our minister made it a serious a principle that those communities should be served. And here we can provide you a list of such dams. There's a specific program running in the department for which the minister has initialized, started, that we look at single-purpose dams, which was created for a single purpose, like a dam for irrigation Botswana, it was also created, I think, for irrigation. The communities were left unattended. So the minister started a project. I think that project is to be opened, if I'm correctly remembering correctly, it will be commissioned in these days. So it was a project started by the minister, funded by our department, to actually serve the communities and treat water in that area. So indeed, it's an issue, and the department, through the minister's guidance, are doing measures to address it. But I must also emphasize to the members that after 1994, our department, our water affairs, got money to serve communities. But then we got the municipal infrastructure grant, where monies were for water services. That means water supply and sanitation was given directly to municipalities. It didn't come to us as a department. So our role is to oversee, to support, and then guide. The monies are given to municipalities. This week I was sitting at a meeting at the presidency looking at sanitation, which is not our function anymore. It went to the Department of Human Settlements, but we are helping them to look at where are the backlogs in terms of sanitation, and I think it applies to water the same. We've made good progress as a country, but the honorable members are correct. There are certain rural areas which got vast backlogs, especially the rural areas. And those 22, which are 23 district municipalities that were identified by the president as priority areas, we are sitting with the Department of Rural Development looking at those district municipalities. And they get money, but one of the problems is Treasury was with us at that meeting at the presidency. They get money, but they don't even spend the money that they currently have. That is the huge challenge with government that we're trying to resolve. It's not often when we go to Treasury and say, we want more money for water sanitation, they say, but what are you doing with your current money? What are the municipalities doing with the current money? They are not even spending what they get. So that is the huge challenge. And then other challenge is, even where there are systems installed, some of these things are not working. And the members mentioned that. So that is some of the challenges that we face. But indeed, from our department, the minister is very tough on our regional offices to help such municipalities and see where we can. The issue of Clan William Dam, which was raised, again, I think there's plans. I'm speaking under correction because not directly my portfolio, but I understand there's also plans from the department to raise that dam. It must be strengthened and raised. I don't know what is the status of that. We can also find out for the committee. Umzabubu was mentioned, you correctly said, it was announced that there will be a dam, a major dam built in the Umzabubu River, that it was announced. Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Another for the follow-up question? Okay.
Chair, thank you very much. I don't even know how to phrase my question now, because you know, this seems just to be a song that we always sit here, sing and sing. We part, and you know, the following year the very same thing, and one does not just get what is the challenge, what is the problem, why can't water be supplied to people? And we know South Africa is a water scarce country, but the little that is there, let it be shared equitably. It's of no use using this terminology here, and when you go down, you get nothing. I'm asking, Chair, it seems from what the report says, the catchment, water catchment agencies are concentrating on catching water only from the rivers. I said, no, there is also an alternative, and actually an addition that can be. Is it yours? Got it? I said there is an addition, you know, to help the rivers, the supply of the rivers.
there is also a possibility that catchment area can be identified for the flow of the water during the rainy season. Why can't we catch up this water? Why can't we build dams to catch this water? Because in my understanding, my experience is that this water floods the rivers, and the river carries this water right into the ocean, and it's the end of it. Why can't we go out and identify areas where water naturally flows during the rainy season and build dams there? And chair, it is even possible that when we have something like that, we can even encourage communities that are staying far away to come and settle around the dams there, because there will be a sustainable water supply. So I'm just bringing it to the attention of the department that there is also this thing that can be done. And if it can be done, much better. And suggesting that, Chair, we must invite actually the minister and the DG. They must come here. We can't just always talk to people and the next thing we see the minister flying with the helicopter looking above us. It doesn't work that way. She must come here to come and tell us what is her problem. We know she's new in this department, but she must show some potential of a minister that can deliver. That is what I'm saying.
Okay,
honorable,
follow up.
Yeah, just a follow up. Although there wasn't a response to my second remark, you know, yesterday on the same program where the minister was, the farmer who was representing the farmers there, who spoke, who says, to put it very clear, he says there is a problem in getting licenses. That's why they presently place levies. He says this problem comes since 2009. Now, it was my reason based on the issue of you focus on only in the revenue was based on that statement. He was bold enough saying that. He says that, and even when we were chatting, you remember,
yes,
he said the problem was licensing.
Yes.
Now, that farmer who is representing organized farmers, commercial farmers in the area, says that there's a problem in the agency. Now the agency comes and says, and they give us something else. Contrast what it says. And thus, I don't want to be difficult, person, but we are representing the interests of society outside. Thank you, Jefferson.
Okay. We call the minister.
And the teaching. We accept the report, but we are not satisfied with the way forward. The minister must tell you. We accept the report, but we are not satisfied.
Thank you. Do you want to respond to?
Yes.
Madam
Chair.
Oh, yes, question, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Let me just, maybe I wasn't clear, apologies for that. When I say CMAs control the river system, that means the rivers and the dams. The dams are part of the river system, and I fully agree with Mr. Mokgoro that we must have more dams. That's why there are dams being built and dams being announced. But dams are very expensive, and some places it will take time to put them in place. But you are quite correct. We must conserve water, we must store water, and the dams are part of that system. So the CMAs will control the dams and the river system in that way. I think Togo in her presentation also showed the important link between the CMA and municipalities in terms of the IDPs and the water service development plans. Because when they plan as a municipality, they must link with the CMA because the CMA must allocate water. So they can only develop and should develop in partnership with the CMA. So when there's development to ensure that there's enough water? We've often seen developments and then when the development is finished, there's no water. Mr. De Beer, you're quite correct about the licenses. I think there was presentation, I don't know if in this committee, but at a portfolio committee, there were presentations done by the department. There was a huge backlog in terms of licenses. And the department faced a huge backlog, and upon also instruction of the minister, a total new team was assembled called Letsema, and they've made good progress in addressing the backlogs in terms of licenses. But that backlog hasn't been cleared. But there was priority put to licenses because there was indeed a backlog. And I agree with you also that revenue and service goes hand in hand. I mean, when there's a revenue collection, there should also be good service. It should go hand in hand. But in any case, I think the principle of CMAs is that those people sharing in that river system, they must pay for the benefit they get from that river system. I think that's a principle, that people in Western Cape shouldn't pay, or people in, shouldn't pay for the benefit of people in Limpopo, etc. That in that CMA, if they want a certain level of service, they must be willing to pay for that. I think that's a principle, but I fully support you that revenue must go hand in hand. We can't just focus on the revenue. I think it was also said before the whole restriction of water users, what you see happening. We had a huge problem in the Vaal River system, that those water that were transferred from Lesotho are being illegally taken by farmers, by commercial farmers. And there's a multi-million project running by the department to curtail those farmers. But it's a complex process, because we must first establish what are the rightful use, what are the registered use, and then there's currently steps in way to curtail those farmers, that they actually keep to what they're entitled are. And there was, I think it's also a project that will highlight that we can't just build new schemes to bring in water from a neighboring country at billions of rands, and that water is being taken by other farmers. And I asked the people working on that, are all the farmers now naughty? And apparently there are only just a few farmers that are very naughty. It's not all the farmers are a little bit naughty. It's a few farmers that are very naughty, if we can summarize it that way. And that is the way that we are going to address it. So it's not that all the farmers take it. And Madam Chair, I hope I've answered the questions that was before. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think Mr. Mokgoro said something that we must invite the minister to come to the meeting. So I think we all agree about that. I don't think is there anyone who wants to say something to the department? None. So thank you very much for your presentation. But you heard that the members are not satisfied about the way amanzi ahambanga khona. So thank you very much about that. We've got another placement after this. Thank you very much. Have a nice trip to Pretoria. We've got number two in our agenda, consideration and adoption of the minutes. We're short of one member to form a quorum. I don't know, can I get one? Can I get one member? My God, is there a meeting? And you don't come to the apology as a member? Okay, there's any meeting? That is not here. But there's a meeting. Van is also sitting with a meeting. I don't know, Honorable Member. Honorable Whip, we're short of one member to form a quorum of the minutes. And the Honorable Sibande is sitting with another meeting, Makala is in a meeting, and Antoine is in a meeting. Others have gotten apologies. Probably sitting with another meeting. Thank you very much. So, that's what I'm saying. No, we can't get it there. It's the meeting here. So, what is the position of? We don't have, and we can't proceed. Yeah, I mean,